Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me this morning? Do I need to start yelling in church? Is it okay to yell at church here? I might. Watch out. I might. I was born in New Orleans. I have parents from South Africa, and I spent a lot of years in South Carolina, so that makes me a Cajun African-American redneck. You never know what will happen when you're faced with a Cajun and a redneck that's preaching on stage right now, so... Man, I'm just delighted to be here. My name is Greg Wilton, and together with my wife, Abby, and our four kids, we send you greetings from Long Hollow Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. That's just outside of Nashville, and I've been serving there for the last few years as the missions pastor, and as Pastor Andrew has already mentioned briefly, my wife and I and our kids, Lord willing, are planning to return back to Malaysia to begin a church there. And I'm so excited to be with you guys, especially for my wife and I, for our opportunity to connect with Andrew and with Charlotte. Don't you guys just love Andrew and Charlotte? Are they not a blessing to this church? Amen? Andrew and I, we are kindred spirits. We are brothers in arms, and it's been a joy for me to know him ever since our days at seminary. Both of us have pastored the infamous, never heard before until you meet one of us, First Baptist Church of White Castle, Louisiana, right on the Mississippi River. And I was a pastor there, and then right after me, Andrew came and pastored that church as well. And we just had a great time there ministering to the Cajun people of the bayous of South Louisiana and ate a whole lot of good crawfish, if you know what I'm talking about. And it was just a great time to be there. And so I'm excited to be with you precious people today here at Eastside Baptist. I've never been to Cairo, Georgia before. I've been in South Georgia before. And it is true, it's as hot here as it is in Malaysia in August. It's quite some hot weather. And I just really enjoyed some time with some of the members last night as we were talking about an upcoming trip that some of your people have. Going to Malaysia so that they can share the good news with people who've never heard it before. And just excited that all that God is doing in and through the life of this church. I've heard of trips to Nicaragua and trips to Haiti and the ways in which you are contributing and cooperating with other Southern Baptist churches through the giving of your tithes and offerings to Annie Armstrong and helping out with North American missions, or giving to Lottie Moon and to global missions, and even with the cooperative program. Thank you so much, because without you and people like you, my wife and I weren't able to answer the call of God in our lives and go and serve as International Mission Board missionaries from 2013 to 2016. So thank you. Don't lose heart. Keep going. Keep pursuing God. Keep being light and salt in this community. Keep gathering together. Make it a point to invite somebody to join and to participate in your Sunday school class. Do those things. Don't give up or lose heart, because God is doing an incredible work in and through you. And I am a witness and bear witness that there are even people like me that you haven't even met at this moment yet. But because of your faithful participation in a Southern Baptist church like this, you continue to make a kingdom difference. And I thank God for you. I thank God for you. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and that infamous verse 6. We are actually going to focus on verses 1 through 6. Pastor Andrew told me that you're going through a bit of a sola series, talking about faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone. And so today I have the tremendous privilege, especially in light of the person that I am and the person that I want to be, to really address this subject of Christ alone, especially in light of global missions, especially in light of global missions. Do you know that in 2017, the Population Reference Bureau helped us to understand that there are currently, well, in 2017, 7,536,000,000 people on planet Earth. Wow, right? And it might even grow by the end of my lifetime all the way up to 9 billion people. What's even more fascinating about this particular stat is that I wanted to find out maybe the sum total of all people who have ever lived on planet Earth. Now, of course, this is rough estimates, but would you believe that according to this website, they believe that by 2017, 108 billion people, 470 million, have lived on planet Earth. That's crazy. That's insane. That's almost the amount of sands on the Gulf shores of the Gulf Coast. That's how crazy it is. That's how abundant and large and massive that number is. And I want to propose to us today a text, John 14, 1 through 6, and a title, Christ Alone. I pray that when you hear that come out of your pastor's mouth, when you hear that come out of my mouth today, when you even use that phrase, maybe in your Sunday school class, or you read a devotional at home, or you're watching someone preach on the television, and you hear this phrase, Christ alone, I want you to remember that you are but one person out of 108 billion people who have ever lived. And it should cause us to really consider our faith, to really consider why we get together like we do on a Sunday morning. Why we believe what we believe. Why we have an incredible moment like tonight with a deacon ordination. Why there are people who are being baptized. Why there are trips that are going to Nicaragua and Haiti and Malaysia. It should really give us, I want you to take advantage of this moment, my dear friends. Take seriously the thought that you and I believe in Jesus alone. And let's see what God wants to teach us today. Let's read the text and then I'll pray. It says in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, and they'll read all the way, actually until verse 7. Not just verse 6, but until verse 7. Jesus is speaking and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I am going. Lord, Thomas said, we call him Doubting Thomas. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word straight from your mouth regarding who you are. And we want to believe what we have just read, and Lord willing, what I'm about to present in light of the text today. Jesus, you alone. It's it. There's nothing else. It's just you. Help us to leave this place today in just a couple minutes. When we do leave, help us to be more rooted and grounded in you, Jesus, as the foundation of our life and our faith. Speak to us now, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Pastor Andrew told you that he has probably shared with you before how he's been to Malaysia. And I can't tell you actually what a source of encouragement this brother has been to me. Because I remember he came with a director of missions for the Baton Rouge Association and some other pastors in the area, and they came to Kuala Lumpur, and my wife and I, we were living on the 20th floor in a two-bedroom apartment with three kids at the time of a 46-story building. And we were living there, and they got to see this, and we were just going around and sharing our faith and sharing the gospel. And there was two particular moments that stood out to me when I was with Andrew. One of them was we were walking on this street called Jalan Bukit Bintang. The word for street is Jalan. And we were on this street, and we were actually watching this film crew. And this film crew was filming maybe a commercial. It almost looked like one of those Bollywood kind of scenes or something of that nature. We weren't exactly sure what we were watching. But we began to get right next to this man who happened to be, young man who happened to be from Bangladesh. And we struck up a conversation with this particular individual. I maintain and continue to maintain a friendship with this man. And because of Andrew, because of his willingness to be a bit of a Barnabas for me in that moment, we had an incredible moment of sharing the gospel with this man who really, in truth, had really never heard the gospel before. I wish to say that he accepted the Lord Jesus right there and on the spot, but he didn't. But we had some other moments. He was invited over into our house. I went to his business at times and just created a relationship with him that was really special. But right then and there, I was confronted with whether or not I truly believe in Jesus alone. You want to know why? Because he's a nice guy. Taufik is a nice guy. This was this guy. He was a nice guy who was kind to my wife and to my family, was kind to Andrew in the moment, does the kinds of things that we do. He's a normal, regular person, just like you and I, except he believes in Muhammad and he follows Islam, whereas I believe in Jesus and I'm a Christian. And I, right there in that moment, Andrew and I get confronted with this belief. Well, this is a great guy. Surely God's grace would extend to a great guy like this. There was another moment, and I threw Andrew a bit into the deep end because it was Friday. And in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, the men go to the mosques on Friday early afternoon. They go for prayers, and they hear a sermon preached. It's their Sunday of sorts. I took Andrew and these other men, and we went right into the mosque. Something that doesn't happen often. And we kind of stood in the back. I was in the back. They were more towards the entrance. And I tell you what, you've been to a Georgia game before, I'm sure. You've been to an Auburn game. You probably watched that Florida and Miami Hurricanes game last night, as crazy as that one was. And you've seen the crowds that have happened in places like that. And you've maybe even been to a concert before, but there's something entirely different where you see hordes of humanity all bowing and praying at the exact same time, thousands of them. And then as they leave, leaving quietly as they are walking and exiting from this mosque. And immediately at this moment, Andrew and I, together with these other pastors, whether we're saying it or not, we're beginning to really wonder, is it Christ alone? Because I want to say this with all the love in my heart, that I'm willing to bet that the overwhelming majority of those men in that mosque had never, ever had the personal opportunity of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ before. We get confronted with moments of humanity like that and say, surely God would have grace upon people like that. Surely God would have grace upon Tawfiq, a very kind guy. I want you to journey to places with me like White Castle, Louisiana, or Cairo, Georgia, where there are people who are living, sleeping, eating, working, playing, and they're good people. They're people just like you and me. And you could probably pick them out in your mind right now. All of these individuals that you know around you. And some of them come to church, and some of them don't. Some of them are really religious, and some of them are not. And there might be that one neighbor that you really just can't stand. That person that is at your workplace that you just wish they'd get a job transfer. Or there's somebody at school or somebody in that family that you just wish they'd go ahead and move to California. But really and truly, you see all these people and you say, surely, surely God is going to be gracious towards them as well. My friends, one of the things that I wanted to say to you today is what the Swiss reformer Zwingli once said, where he said this, Christ is the only way of salvation. Of all who were, are now, and shall be. And when that becomes real, it becomes real when we're not confronted by the terrorist of Saudi Arabia or the Hitler of the Third Reich of Germany, but the next door neighbor, who though they are trying to be as good as they possibly can be, are not doing it with full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important for us to cling to that verse 6 of chapter 14, where Jesus says, out of the words of our Lord, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you just 3 points about this text. About the fact that we should fully, fully embrace the doctrine of Christ alone in our lives. Point number one. This text shows us that Christ alone is a life-giving, encouraging, comforting truth. Did you hear that? Christ alone is a life-giving, encouraging, comforting truth. Go back and take a look at the text of what our Lord Jesus said. Don't let your heart be troubled. We're talking about Christ is the only way, and Jesus laid that metaphorical hammer down, so to speak, in verse 6. But notice how he begins with comfort and encouragement. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. And then he goes to say, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And look, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings says this, if I go away and prepare a place for you. Did you catch that? He's talking to his followers, and the King of Kings is saying, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Isn't that amazing? It's a great comfort to us to know that he's ready to receive all who would believe on his name. I've traveled halfway around the world many a times, and I hate jet lag. Anybody else has done jet lag? I can't stand jet lag. I am not fond of it, where you feel like you're in a different time zone and you just are all out of sorts. I've been on one of these trips before where I went all the way to Indonesia. And you go through all these different moments where now I'm in Japan, and now I'm at this place, and now I'm at this place, and I finally get to my final destination. And I get my bags after waiting for a very long time. And then I have to figure out how to call a taxi and get somebody to help me get to the hotel. Because you know what? All I want to do is sleep. When you've been on a long journey like that and sitting for so long, isn't it funny that all you want to do is sit back down again? That's just what you want to do. And I just want to get into a bed and go to sleep. And I've been on this particular journey that just happened actually at the beginning of this year, where I showed up to the hotel and they didn't have a reservation for me. Oh, there is nothing worse than showing up to a place and they are not ready for you. There is nothing worse when you feel like you're coming somewhere. Maybe you've been to a gathering before. Maybe you've been to somebody's family birthday party or something like that, and they really weren't expecting you. It makes you feel a little bit bad. It makes you feel a little bit sheepish and timid, and it's not a good feeling. But there's nothing quite like a good feeling of driving down here and then having Andrew and Charlotte waiting for my family, waiting for us to pull up. And little James is running out, ready to come and play with his friends, and to see Wheezy get ready to find her new sister, Gabby, and for them to get to be able to play together because they're so excited. And then to see people come and bring food. Oh, I love eating. Can y'all tell? I love me some food. And people bringing food and just to have a good time. It's such a good feeling to know that you can go to a football game and you've got tickets and there's going to be a seat for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And I go to prepare a place for you. We've had loved ones who have passed away. And God has prepared a place for them. One day this life will be over for all of us. And for those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus himself has provided a place for us. And he's prepared it for us. This Christ alone doctrine should be extremely encouraging and comforting, because it allows us to see that he is waiting upon us and his love longs to be extended to everyone on planet Earth. This is who our God is. This is who our Lord is. And it's important for us to see this. This is why I think the Apostle Peter in Acts 2, 38 and 39, he said this at the end of his Pentecost speech. He goes, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins.'" If you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, you'll have forgiveness of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at this verse 39. "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Friends, let us not begin anywhere except in comfort, that God has provided a way, and his name is Jesus. God has provided life, life abundant and life eternal, and his name is Jesus. We are not to live in darkness. We are to know the truth, and Jesus is the truth. Point number two, though, we need to turn it just a little bit. Because point number one is Christ alone is life-giving, encouraging, comforting truth. But point number two is Christ alone is a kind, gracious warning. There is no alternative. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Reminds me of what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one God. He is holy, and he is our creator. The same God that created me is the same God that created you, is the same God that created all things. He is the creator of the universe. He is holy, he is righteous, he is just, and we submit ourselves to him. But there are several living under the impression that there are actually alternatives. There's alternatives. Let me give you just a few of these to examine. Some believe that there is no way to God, because there's actually atheists in this world. And they believe that there's no way to God because God just doesn't exist. There's no way. And in a sense, they live in a life of pointlessness, trying to understand why we exist even in the first place. There's some who believe there's no way. But then there's some people who believe that Jesus is not the way. And those are like my dear friends, my Muslim friends. I got to share about Bapa and Ibu during the Sunday school hour. And I've shared with them time and time again, this precious couple that is probably into their 70s now, late 70s. And this couple, I have shared, they're a dear, sweet Muslim family. I love them. They call me Anak Kedelapan, meaning I'm their eighth child. They feel like I'm the eighth child in their family. They've had seven children. And I've shared the gospel with them time and time again. And still, they are led to the place where you follow Jesus, I follow Muhammad, and that is the way that it is. There are lots of people in this world who don't view Jesus as the only way. In fact, they would actually say Jesus is not the way. There is another way to God, but Jesus is not the way. There's a third way that some people live with this impression that there's an alternative. And I want to say that this one hits close to home for all of us, including myself. There are some says no way, that Jesus is not the way. But thirdly, some believe Jesus is just a way. Like, you know, the Jesus and, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I believe in Jesus and I go to church. I believe in Jesus and I'm a good person. I believe in Jesus and I don't drink too much or smoke too much. I believe in Jesus and give to charity. Do you catch on what I'm saying? You see, the funny thing about Muslims is they're not too far off from what a lot of us in cultural Christianity experience as well. Because if you actually talk to a Muslim over in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, they say, I believe in Allah, God. Well, how do you know that you're a good Muslim? This is what they'll say. I pray 5 times a day. I go to the mosque. I try to go to Mecca if I have enough money. I try to fast during the month of fasting. I try to give my money to the poor. That's what I think makes me a good Muslim. That's how I know I have a relationship with Allah. Do you know what that person is saying to me? That person is saying to me a theology of works. They're saying if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I go to the mosque enough, if I go to Mecca enough, if I give my money enough, then God will be okay with me. And as crazy as you think that sounds over there, that couldn't be more similar to what you and I are facing here in the United States of America. Because all of the people all around us, when you just have simple conversations, how do you know that 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 you love Jesus and have a relationship with him? Well, I don't drink too much. I don't cuss too much. I don't smoke too much. You know, I try to go to church and be a good person. I try to be honest and try to help out my family when I can. That's the kind of stuff that I do, and I'm pretty sure I'm a Christian because of that. And I love that people do that. I think it's a very noble thing to do, but being good never saved anyone. Jesus alone saves. And it doesn't matter what country you're in on planet Earth. Jesus alone is still the only way to salvation. He's the only one being deserving of that. Why? Because he's the only one who is God's son, and he's the only one who is God's sacrifice. He functions as prophet, priest, and king. He functions fully as the perfect prophet, the perfect high priest, the perfect king. What does he do for us as a prophet? He alone reveals to all of us who God really is. We got some crazy people out there trying to tell us who God is. In Christianity and outside of Christianity, everybody's got an opinion on God. And the only way we truly know who God is through Jesus, the Son. That's why he's able to respond to Thomas. He's like, Thomas, you seen me, you seen God. I mean, this is the way it is. This is the way it works. He's the true prophet, but he's also the true priest. He's the only one who can mediate between God and man. He's the only one who can stand in the gap. He is that high priest, that perfect ambassador that stands in the gap between us because God is holy and just, and his wrath should fall upon our sins. But because Jesus is the high priest, you know what he does? He not only offers sacrifice, but he becomes the perfect sacrifice himself. That's why we say, behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist says, who's come to take away the sins of the world. He is this perfect priest for us. You want to try and pay for your sins? Go ahead. You will be in hell for all of eternity. But because God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have everlasting life. Do you get that? You can try and pay for your sins. You can try and do what the Jews of old did, where they kept on offering sacrifices again and again and again and again and again. You can keep on doing that by coming to church again and again and again and giving your money again and again and again. And we should still do all of those things. But the best thing you should do, the only thing you should do, is place your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, not in your own works. Because not only is he prophet and priest, but he's also king. And every government everywhere is a little messed up. It doesn't matter who's in office. Every government everywhere is still a little messed up, but not so with Jesus on the throne. There will never be a government that is messed up when Jesus is on the throne. Everything will be perfect and in order, and peace will be flowing, and love and kindness and graciousness, because Jesus is upon the throne and he is that pure, holy, perfect king. Which is why it brings me to our third and final point, which is this: Christ alone is the most God-glorifying way to live. We need to be warned that there is no alternative. And then when we see that, we need to see that Christ alone, this doctrine that we believe, is the most God-glorifying way to live. This is in a way why Jesus says to Thomas at the end, he says, if you know me, come on, if you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Jesus' response to Thomas is this response in the language of responsibility. What should Thomas be doing with this? What now, my dear brothers and sisters? And can I just say, thank you for having me here. Thank you for letting me just pitch a fit and get a little excited about Jesus, because I like getting excited about Jesus. He is worth it. Amen? Amen? He is worth it. What should we do with this great truth? It's Jesus alone. I pray this for you. I pray that it shapes your heart and your mind internally. I pray that it helps you to see how desperate we are for Jesus. You know that verse we all love to see on placards and we love to quote it? It's one of our favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Consider saying that in a different way. I can't do anything apart from Christ. What if we actually believed that? What if we believed that we couldn't take the next breath without Jesus in our lungs? What if we believed we couldn't function in our cars going home and really meant, Jesus, take the wheel? What if we really believed that we truly said, I am lost, I got nothing, my righteousness is as filthy rags, Jesus, I got nothing, all I've got is you. It should shape the way in which we function with our hearts and our minds. And then I hope that it shapes our lives. All need Jesus. And they're lost, and they're in darkness, and they will be going to hell for all of eternity unless they repent and place their faith and trust in Jesus, who came to save sinners. And guess where sinners are? Right here. Everywhere. Sinners are everywhere. And that's what makes Jesus so amazing. He comes to give life and give it to the fullest. He offers us the forgiveness of sins. And if there's anyone here today who has not yet repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the hour of your salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Speak with Pastor Andrew, Pastor Robbie, about what that means to begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus this very day. And that's what drives us and propels us to missions, to Malaysia, my friends. That's what drives me right now to consider to move my wife and my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old and my 6-year-old and my baby girl, my 3-year-old, 12 time zones away, because I am utterly convinced that if they don't hear about Jesus, they will perish. But Jesus desires all people to come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. It's not a question about what happens to them. It's actually a question about what about me? God, if you've given me such great a truth that Jesus is the hope of the world, what should I do about it? Oh, I know what I'm going to do about it. What about you? Let me pray. God, as we enter into just a song of response, as we remind ourselves through singing that it's Jesus, it's you alone that we place our trust, may we think of ourselves first. May we never say that it's our own works that is saving us. Jesus, we rely fully and totally on you. If there's anyone here in the audience today that does not know you, Lord, I pray they would settle that matter today. Repent and believe. And Lord, I pray as we leave this place, as we rely on you and you alone, that you would guide us and shape our lives with what we are to do with such great a truth. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.